Well, I greet each one of you again this morning in the worthy name of our Lord, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're thankful for that. Thankful that our God is unchangeable, that we don't have to wonder whether he's going to be different tomorrow than he was today or some other time. People change. God doesn't. That's one of the differences. But I also welcome each one here this morning. I am glad for all of you who chose to be with us today. We're glad to have you, especially you visitors. Happy to have you here with us. That last song, it's my custom to normally pray before I begin a message, but I think that that song prayed my prayer. I desire that the Lord could speak to me as well as to you. That's my heart's desire. So I'm not going to make a long introduction here. We do see that we have some precipitation, and I am not going to try to keep you here any longer than I need to. Hopefully, I'll say this. I say it with a little bit of hesitation that I don't think this is going to be a long message. So if the kitchen crew wants to take that into account, you may. If you think that I'm not very likely to be straightforward on that, you can do as you feel. Okay. You know, the Bible tells us to look at animals, for instance, from time to time, and learn of them. We're told to go to the ant and learn. There are other animals that are mentioned that we're told to go to look at, to learn from. Today, well, I'll just give you, if you'd like to look, in Job chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "But ask the beasts, and they will teach you. The birds of the heavens, and they will tell you." Verse 8 says, and this is a reading from ESV, "Or the bushes of the earth, and they will teach you. And the fish of the sea will declare to you." Well, today I'm going to talk a bit about something a little bit bigger than bushes. Trees. I have titled it Lessons from a Tree. Now, I don't have a text for you to turn to for that one other than what I just read. But I would like to learn some lessons from a tree. Maybe lessons that you already have or know, but lessons that I think are important for us. We are, again, it's something that I like to do myself and I encourage others to do, is when you come to the end of a year and the beginning of another, have some time to give thought to the past year. Think about what happened, what transpired. You know, some people send out family letters and they tell about some of the things that happened, the highlights of the year. I think it's a good thing for us to do that spiritually, to look back on the past year, to contemplate, to maybe have some introspection on what transpired in our life. Not so much the big happenings of things that happened, although they might have been, but what happened in your heart? What happened in your spirit? What happened in your walk with God. How was it? When you look back, are there things that you say, I deeply regret? And others where you say, praise the Lord, I was victorious in the midst of situations. I believe it can be that way. It can be both. And it can be more of one than the other. That's one of the blessings and one of the reasons, I think, for us to have some introspection, to contemplate, to think about, to meditate on the past year. I'd like to go beyond that in this message and think beyond just the past year. What has been transpiring in your life? We've got people here from babies all the way up into Grandma Pat here, 90 years old. So we've got quite a diverse group of ages here. You can look back over your life and ponder what has happened in your life. I said I'd like to learn lessons from a tree. You notice maybe that I'm saying tree, not trees. If you look around us here, imagine what life would be like without trees. Just this building, for instance, we wouldn't have this building without trees. You look out about you, and that's one of the things I love about trees is they grow, you know, and they bear fruit. I mean, you already have trees in the Garden of Eden. You have them bearing fruit. They're all through the scripture. Trees are marvelous. Today they say that the oldest tree is around 5,000 years old. They call him Methuselah. Well, he lived, according, if they're right about what they think there, Methuselah was probably living maybe then. I'm not sure. I didn't really calculate that exactly, but that's a long time, 5,000 years. And it's here in the United States, by the way. But that's not the lessons that we want to learn from trees. I would like to give you, and I'll pass it, and you can pass it along, a sheet that I printed here. Just look at it and then pass it along to and on back. We want to look at what we can learn from a tree, and I subtitled it, What Can a Dead Tree Tell Us? The tree that you're looking at there is a dead tree. There's a lot that a dead tree can tell us. You can, for instance, you can see how old a tree was. But that's not the only thing. Maybe I should, of course, I'm passing this along. Some of you are already seeing some of what's on this sheet. But what are some things that you can think of that we can learn from a dead tree? Anyone have any thoughts? Yes, Brother Marvin. We can tell when there was drought and when there was plenty, when there was adversity. We can tell it. Anything else? Yes, Brother Stanley. Might be able to tell what killed the tree. Anyone else? Yes. See what kind of tree, especially if you're someone that has some knowledge of lumber and such. One other thing that I'll point out right now. You can tell with the paper that I sent along for you to look at. You can tell when a forest fire went through by the scars in the wood. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. I thought about asking, I'm not sure, maybe I could ask now, but how many of you know what dendrochronology is? I can hardly twist my tongue to say it. Dendrochronology. That is the science of dating events and variations in environment in former periods by comparative study of the growth rings in trees and aged wood. That's what dendrochronology is. So maybe you learned a new word this morning. I did. I'm using the tree today as a metaphor. The Lord did that. He used various things as metaphors, as parables, as something to illustrate a point. I'd like to do that today with the tree. I already talked a little bit about looking back on your life. That's what I look at with this diagram or the picture and the image that I sent long back that you are getting back there. That gives you some of the things that we can look back on that tree and learn from that tree. The same can be done in your life. Have you ever met someone and been impressed with the grace, with the humility, with the level of godliness in their life? I have, and I suppose you have. But then you find out what type of life they have had. And many times you'll find that it was not what we would consider a prosperous life. It wasn't one where they just had everything handed to them on a silver platter. It was not that type of thing where they just had it all handed to them. But rather, they'd endured afflictions. They endured a lot of grief and whatnot. And through that, they became the man or woman that they are today. You can tell a lot about a person just by being around them a little bit as to their past. So some of the things we can learn, and it's already some of these things have already been mentioned, we can see from the growth ring when the tree was under stress. We can tell when it grew more and when it grew less in a year. We can tell when it had, as Brother Marvin mentioned, dry years, or when it had productive years, when it was doing well. We can see when there was something, an injury. We can see those things on the tree. And I would say to you this morning, we can many times do that in our own lives. So I would, today, we're not here to examine each other, although we are called as brothers to care for one another and to watch out for one another. But this morning, I'd like for our focus to be inward, for our focus to be on our own lives. And I'd like for you to think about that. I'd like to go to a few scriptures. You don't need to turn to them. If you don't want, I'll give you where they are. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Here it's speaking of communion, but I believe it's something that's not only then. But let a man examine himself. Let a woman examine herself. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves, not others. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Job 9:20. If I justify myself, Mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I'm perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. Galatians 6:4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And finally in Haggai 1:5, now therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So we have plenty of scripture. There'd be many more that we could look at to say that it's good for us to consider our ways. It's good for us to examine our own lives, to prove our own hearts, to see whether we are in the faith, whether we are walking as we ought to. So I advise you this morning that it may be beneficial for you to do that. Take some time and ponder. Not this morning necessarily to do the pondering. Maybe when you go home. Maybe tomorrow, maybe some other day, and maybe some more days and weeks, ponder. But I want to also be careful because there are those that can have so much introspection. There are those that can dwell there. That's not where we want to dwell. We don't want to dwell on the looking inward. We don't want to dwell on that, but we want to learn from it. We want to look at what has happened in our life, and then use what has happened to move on, to go on. So, learning from a tree, the lessons we can learn from it. Number one, prosperity. So, you look at a tree, you look at this tree here, we have a couple of them here, but you see this one at the bottom, a gnarled old thing that has had a hard life. You can tell it. It's one that has had a really tough life. Then you see the one up here, and it has some of the things that you're looking at. But you see where it says there, rainy season. It's got a wide growth ring there. But one of the things that someone who knows trees also knows is a fast-growing tree is not the strongest tree. They will know that. Prosperity is something that we would probably all enjoy and like and appreciate. We all like to grow. We all like to be doing well and things are going well and our life is just kind of on a roll, so to speak. We like it. But is it good for us? Is it the best? Just think about that wide, prosperous growth ring. It's natural to desire that. And, you know, I mean, metaphors break down. And I know that this one here will. But we know that what happens when you have too much fast growth, you can have weakness. And the same thing goes in a Christian. In a Christian who you see, we have the example that Jesus gave of the sower that went out to sow. And some springs up and grows fast, but then it withers in the heat. That's what I'm talking about. Deuteronomy gives us a warning about prosperity, about, shall we say, fast growth. And I want to limit that. We don't want to limit our spiritual growth so that we can have better growth, so to speak. Not at all. I think it's good for us to want to grow as much as we can in wherever we can. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Then beware. That's what I'm saying. Be careful. When you're having things on a roll, when things are going well, when you are just having it nice, beware. Think about the Lord. Don't forget Him. And don't forget who it is that you are serving and what it is that you're here for. All right, number two. Adversity. So we went from prosperity to adversity. So you look at this illustration that we have here, the one that was given by NASA, and you see a very narrow growth ring, and it says that was a dry season. Sometimes we have dry seasons, don't we? Dry seasons in our life. Now I'd like for you to just ponder very shortly, very quickly, but can you think back in your life when you've had a dry season? A time when things weren't going so well. Adversities were coming into your life. And you were despairing of going on in life. Some probably can identify with that more than others, and maybe everyone can to some extent. I know I can, you know. I mean, it's like, this is just too much. But you know what? I can now look back on those times and appreciate that the Lord put me through it or allowed me to go through them. Sometimes I don't know whether the Lord put me through them or whether it's something that He allowed to happen so that I could go through them. But regardless, I believe it's for our good. For all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to His purpose. I missed the part right before it. I've shared this before, but do we actually know what it says right before that? All things work together for good. But do we know what it says right before that? And we know that all things work together for good. Do we actually know that? Do we question that sometimes, whether all things do work together for good? Do we actually wonder in our hearts, will this work together for good? And it's not a promise to the unbeliever. It's not a promise to those who aren't born again. It's a promise to them who are the called according to His purpose. Have you had hard times? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 and 7 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" Have you ever met someone who impressed you with their, I don't know, shall I say, down looks, with just having a bad outlook on life? Everything you bring up and they have a negative opinion about it. I've had people like that, and I look at them and I say, what would life be like living like that? I mean, everything you look at and it's just like, it's terrible. I've had friends like that who seem to go through life that way, and nobody likes me, and the fact is that's about the way it is, because who wants to be around someone like that? Adversity and hardship is something that I believe that while we don't put ourselves into them, I am not promoting that you put yourself into hardships necessarily. I mean, I'm not saying that there isn't a point in not always doing it the easiest way either. There's some points sometimes in not doing that, but I don't think that we should get down on our knees and crawl on broken glass just for the sake of trying to make ourselves hardships. That's not what I'm trying to say at all. But if you are going through hardships, remember, they're for your good, and you can grow, and you can actually become stronger for them, just like trees. Just like trees are stronger for the hardships, so you can be stronger for hardships. Number three, scars. In the top diagram there, you see that it has a black mark on one of the growth rings. That's a scar from a forest fire. I don't know how they know for sure. Probably they know that there was a forest fire. They can count back, and if you look at this, you could say this tree was 1900 is when it was first started growing. You can count from that, and you can find exactly when that forest fire happened. That's what it means by dendrochronology. You can tell when other events happen. Sometimes you can tell, like Brother Marvin said about the growth. You can see when it had a good year. You can see when it had a bad year. But at this point, let's look at the scars. The bottom photo here is an actual photo. This one here has more than one scar. It looks quite bad, but it's amazing what people do with things that don't look so good. This tree could possibly make some fine furniture, or maybe already has, I don't know. But these are the type of things that you can take lemons and make lemonade. Scars are not something that we aren't familiar with. Probably 90-some% of us have scars. I have scars that are over 50 years old on my body. Physical scars. I probably take the honor of having the largest scars, physical scars, on my body. But what I'm talking more about here today is mental and emotional scars. Some of you have much larger mental and emotional scars than I do. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you do. But, you know, those scars don't need to be for naught. You don't need to try to hide them. You don't need to be ashamed of them. I have scars. I have this one here. I still remember on my arm, I was probably 5 years old, and I was pushing on a storm door and pushed too hard and pushed right through it, and the glass cut it. And I still well remember. 55 years later, I remember it. And I'm not ashamed of it. Why should you be? Of other scars. That skin healed. It's strong. It's tough. In fact, scars are tougher than the other part of the skin. They're tough. And you can be a help to someone else. I believe that scars are not for nothing. If you have mental or emotional scars, they're not for nothing. You have learned through those things, hopefully you have, and are made better by them. You have toughened because of that. Yes, there are still issues. The scar is still there. It's something that is still very real. And some scars more so than others. mental and emotional, oftentimes more so than physical scars. I'll use a tree again for an example. How many of you have heard of wormy maple? Quite a few of you, on this side at least. Those are scars caused by an ambrosia beetle. They're scars, but that is some highly sought after wood. It's beautiful, at least people think so. And they like it, but they're scars. That's what I'm trying to say is it's not for nothing. If you've got scars, God can use those for a beautiful thing in someone else's life and even in your own. So don't think that because of some emotional trauma, things that happened in your past life, that you are just doomed. I've got this scar all my life and I'm ashamed of it and I wish it never happened. And you can wish that it never happened. But again, rather than dwelling on the lemons, make lemonade. Make the best of it and use it for the glory of God. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. From now on, let no one cause me trouble because I bear on my body scars for the cause of Christ. King James says marks. I bear on my body scars for the cause of Christ. He almost was having it as a badge of honor. I've got scars for the cause of Christ. You can too. You can wear them as a badge of honor. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Even Jesus was wounded, was scarred for our transgressions. Are you willing to be wounded for others? Are you willing to let the wounds that you've had make you beneficial for others? I believe that's very possible. Those scars, those emotional scars, those mental scars that you may have. And again, like I said, I'm sorry. I would to God traumatic events wouldn't happen for anyone. That would be my desire. But when they do, and if they have, my encouragement is to do your best. And sometimes you need others. Many times you will. And that's not wrong, and that's good. Use others. Use the resources and the kingdom of God for the benefit, so that you can then also be healed. Sometimes those, it's not scars. It's still wounds and they're still raw. But they can become scars that have healed over. And then you can be a benefit. You can be a blessing to others. Sometimes we sing some pretty high, aspirational things. One of them is, "Oh, to be like thee." One of the lines says, "Lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer, others to save." That's a prayer. Do we mean it? Do we actually mean that? Okay. Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. I'll just read a few verses here. And then I'll go to a few suggestions and then conclude. Matthew 19, 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration..." Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory. Ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and every one that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The Amplified says, many who are first in this world will be last in the world to come, and the last first. I think that might be what Jesus was saying there. I've wondered already. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. I've wondered, what is he saying? And that probably makes as much sense to me as anything. So my question to you is this. What have you chosen to give up or forsake this year for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the kingdom of heaven? I think it would be good sometimes for us to ponder, what am I willing? You know, give up the good for the excellent, maybe. It doesn't have to be that it's a bad thing. It doesn't have to be that it's something that has no value. But if it's keeping you from the excellent, wouldn't it be better to just give it up so that you can have the excellent? The more, the thing that's better? It could be that there is a weight, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, where, for brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your... Oops, I'm in the wrong book. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So he's saying there, let us lay aside every weight and sin. So it may be a weight. It may be something that is hindering you from running as well as you could. What have you? As Jesus said here, there's no one who has given up brethren or sisters or houses or lands or the different things that he mentions there that will not be, how does he say it here, will not receive 100-fold. You give it up, you're going to get it back 100-fold. Maybe it would be good for you to consider, what's the single biggest time waster in your life? Is it a weight? Just be honest. Let's be honest with ourselves when we ask ourselves some of these questions. All right, some suggestions. Forgive. Obviously, that is very important. If you expect to live a victorious, a prosperous Christian life, if you have any unforgiveness in your heart, you're not going to be able to do that. Forgive freely. Freely forgive, just as the Lord freely forgave you. Is there someone who grates on your nerves? Someone who hurt you in the past? And you know, you say, I've forgiven, but you know there's still something there. How about blessing? Blessing them. Blessing those who grate on your nerves. Blessing those who you just don't get along with the best. Bless. Pray. How shall I say this? I say it at the risk of being taken wrongly, but I'll say it anyway. We often hear, I say often, quite often, about the need for prayer, prayer meetings, and prayer, our own prayer life, and we maybe we bemoan that we don't have enough of it. I would like to suggest to you that there's another type of prayer that I wonder if it's not more neglected than prayer meetings. I'm going to call it the continuing in prayer. The praying always. The going throughout your day, and whenever a little situation rises, you just have a flash prayer. It doesn't have to be a long one. You know how long the publican sinner was? 7 words long, I think. It doesn't have to be a long one for the Lord to get the Lord's attention. Just tell Him what you need throughout the day. Yes, I'm not at all trying to downgrade the need for prayer meetings or the need for us to have our own personal prayer times and those type of things. I'm not saying that anything against that. But I will say, don't neglect the instant in prayer, the thing when it, whatever comes up. It's natural for you to just ask the Lord. It's something that can be learned. It's something that if you don't do that now, I encourage you to learn it, to do that throughout your day, throughout your life, whatever comes up. Tell the Lord. Ask the Lord. What shall I do? That's all you have to do. You don't have to make a long prayer about it. God hears. He heard the publican. He'll hear you. Raise. This is my third one. Raise the spirits of someone who is discouraged. You know someone, and you can just tell they're going through something. What can you do? What can you do to lift their spirits? These are just suggestions. Some people are very apt at that, and I bless them, and I appreciate that. Live frugally. Number 4, live frugally. Practice simplicity in spending, eating, and your life. Just practice simplicity. I encourage you. I suggest it. It's not, I'm not saying that it's thus saith the Lord, but it's something I think it'd be a worthwhile thing for you to consider how you can do more of that. In conclusion, I believe that looking at our past growth rings, so to speak, at the past growth rings of our life, every one of us, if we live to the end of this year, we'll have either had a birthday or we'll be having one. Just like a tree has a growth ring every year, every year, every year, every year, you have a birthday. And how will this year be? You, unlike trees, have a big say in how it goes. You can purpose in your heart today. You can purpose in your heart that you are going to benefit from the scars in your life. You're going to benefit from the adversity. You're not going to allow the prosperity to overcome you, whatever it may be. You can resolve to do that. We can't forecast what this year will hold, but we can choose how we will respond to whatever happens. We can choose that. A couple of weeks ago, a close friend of mine woke up in the morning. He's married 6 months less than I, so 30-some years that he's been married, and his wife they have a very good marriage. His wife means the world to him. He calls her his rocket scientist. Well, his rocket scientist was not well. She was very ill. Her one side was drooping. She wasn't speaking coherently. And he's a take charge kind of a guy. And he grabbed the phone and called for the ambulance and told them, meet me on the road. And he took off. He wasn't expecting that. His wife has been a healthy, vibrant, someone who was the picture of health. They went to bed expecting no such thing. I may wake up in a similar situation this year. What I'm saying is how we respond, what we respond with the situations we face. We may face some adverse situations. How will we respond? Will you resolve in your heart to make this the best year of your life? Best in glorifying God. Best in being an edification in the kingdom of God. Best in showing forth to the world that is in darkness the glorious light of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow on our knees. Yes, Lord, we do. We do desire to learn lessons from the tree. Help us, Lord, as we ponder our own lives, as we look back over, to learn lessons. And Lord, from those lessons, that we could purpose in our hearts, that we could resolve to go forward, to climb higher, to reach new heights this year, in 2025, that the kingdom of God would grow because of the purpose in our hearts, because of the purpose in this church. Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have promised us that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, Lord, that you have been faithful in the past, and we trust you to be faithful in the future. Lord, we just pray that you would be with each brother and sister, that you would bless each one, that you would give each one the desires of their heart as they long after you, as they go out, and as they are that light and testimony to a community that is in darkness, to a world that needs to see and hear. Help us, Lord, that we can be faithful in this time that we live in. We pray, Father, lead us on. May this year be a productive life for each one, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.